Good morning. You know, as I we wrapped up our series on the Be Different last week, but as I was working on last week's message of the fact that God provides healing, not just spiritually in the sense of dealing with the sin in our life, but also the wounds, as well as providing the potential of physical healing in our life. As we looked at that, I realized that, did the sound just boost, or is that just me? Okay, never mind. I'm just going to keep preaching. They'll figure it out. But, you know, as I thought about that, I thought, you know, there's a lot, it was impossible to do everything in 1 week. So today we're going to be continuing in the, not the Be Different series, but just in that conversation of finding healing for our soul, looking primarily again at Isaiah 53, those same verses that we looked at last week. But we're going to be also looking at Romans 8:28 as well. You know, as we start, my daughter's not here, so I think I can safely share this. Just don't tell her to listen to the tape later. But sorry, did I dismiss the children? Sorry, the children can be dismissed to children's church. I'm off to a great start here today. As I was thinking about today, I remembered a scene with my daughter. I forget how old she was, but we often had the issue of her going out back of our house when we were living in Pittsburgh, and she liked to go shoeless. And there were times I encouraged her. I said, "You might want to at least keep sandals or something on. You're gonna cut yourself. You're gonna step on something." So, anyways, the day that she stepped on a bee. Discovered something about my daughter is that when she is hurt, physical pain, I'm finding the same even with emotional pain, she doesn't typically warm up to helping. Me as a father, or Jana as mother, coming alongside to try to help, to try to care for that pain, to try to help with that pain. She has a tendency to be very dramatic about the pain, but as a parent, just struggling, saying, "Well, how do I help?" And I remember her stepping on the bee, and she sat in the middle of the yard screaming and wouldn't let me touch it, wouldn't let me look at it. I even said, "Katie, can I at least pray for you?" She's like, "No, just leave me alone." And she didn't want any help. And, you know, I realize as we look at the issue of heart, what I call heart wounds, I'm not the only one that has used that term, but to deal with the emotional pain and the hurts that we carry in our life, that we can be the same way often. We're going to look a little bit at how we sometimes respond to the pain in our life. But, you know, often we can be like Katie was in that moment and say, "You know, I don't want you to help me. Just stay away." And sometimes we even push God aside when God is desiring to come alongside of us to minister healing in our hearts, in our life, that to make us whole, as we looked at last week. We're going to be picking up again in Isaiah 53 and touching base a little bit of what we looked at last week of God's desire to give us peace, God's desire to give us healing, and all of this happening because of what Christ did on the cross for us. But as we begin, I just want to encourage you to look at your own life and ask yourself, is there some area of pain in your life, grief in your life, or some area of suffering in your life that you've allowed to either impact your experience of life in a very negative way, or have allowed it to become something that's a barrier between you and a God who loves you and desires to minister healing and peace to your heart? Let's go ahead and look at Isaiah 53, 4 through 6, and then we're going to invite God's Spirit to be present with us. Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6, and it's important, the words leading up to this are talking about Jesus being the suffering servant and one who can identify with our suffering because he himself was afflicted. Verse 4 says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I'm very aware that when we talk about pain in our life, especially that emotional pain and the hurts and things that we carry, Lord, sometimes we Just like Katie with that bee sting, we just don't want to go there. And Lord, I realize even in this moment how much, even as we've sung about this morning, we need you in this moment. We need your Holy Spirit to be present. I pray your Holy Spirit would come and to fill this place and speak to each person here. Lord, I pray that whatever pain each of us carry, Lord, that we would not only have new insight, but that we would really come to a place, that we understand your desire to comfort, your desire to work healing and bring peace into our life. Lord, that we might grow and not only become more like you, but also might grow in our relationship with you. Lord, I just pray that today that your Spirit would be free to speak to our hearts. We invite your presence here in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, a little bit of review of last week. Last week we looked at Isaiah 53, we talked about the fact that Isaiah 53 focuses on, it's an Old Testament prophecy talking about Jesus, written before Jesus ever walked on this earth. It's describing the role that Jesus would fulfill as the suffering servant. And two key things that what we believe as a church is we not only believe Jesus was that suffering servant, that he died in our place for us, but we also believe that Jesus was our substitute. And there's this incredible exchange that takes place, that we see in this passage where Jesus takes our sin, our sickness, our griefs, our sorrow. He takes all that upon himself, upon the cross when he suffered and he died. And as we looked last week, just a very quick review, that we understand that when we look at this passage, we see that Jesus takes our sin. He takes our grief. He takes our sorrows. And then Jesus offers us peace. And that peace is not just to be restored to relationship with God, but the word for peace there is the Hebrew word shalom, which is talking more about wholeness and completeness. And that's God's desire for us. And what Christ did on the cross was not just to save us, to put us in back into right relationship with God by dealing with the sin. God wants to make us whole. God wants to bring us peace into our life. We also see in this passage that Jesus offers healing. And that healing is both, there's a physical healing, there's an emotional healing. And we took a lot of time last week to talk about the fact that we celebrate the fact that, just as we sang in that hymn this morning, that Jesus is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And when we read all these incredible stories of Jesus physically healing people or Jesus bringing wholeness to people's lives, to know that Jesus can do those same things today. And we celebrate that. We believe. And we can pray with, the key thing is we pray with confidence. We don't control God's hand. We don't understand why God chooses to answer healing in this day, in this moment. That is in God's hands. And I can't always understand the reason why healing is often delayed. And yet I believe Scripture is clear that we need to pray with confidence. It's not an issue of control, like we try to control God's hand, like some pastors, some theologians would try to teach you. But we do pray with confidence. We pray with a confidence to know that we can go to God and ask for that healing, but we also know that there's a day coming. We look forward to that day that while God can heal today, there is a day that God will take care of all sickness, all pain, and all suffering. And we look forward to that day with hope. Anyways, that was, if you weren't here last week, that's a quick summary. But we're going to pick up in verse 4 today. And look specifically at the idea that Jesus carries our griefs and he carries our sorrows. Look at verse 4. It says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." And you see this incredible exchange here between the griefs and sorrows that Jesus carries and the peace or shalom and the healing that he desires to offer us. Now these two words have a lot more of a bigger understanding than what you might see in some of your translations. Might even translate these two words interchangeably or different in a different way. But the word translated for griefs means suffering, and it's the idea of the misery that we experience through affliction. Like whatever that affliction might be, it's that misery that comes with the pain. If you're experiencing a physical challenge or you're going through a difficult emotional time, that idea of our grief and the word that's translated grief here is that misery that comes from the affliction. Sorrow, the word translated sorrow here can also be translated as grief, but it's something more focused on the source of something that causes great unhappiness. Now, unless you live under a rock, you've probably experienced painful moments in your life, or you've experienced things in your life that brought you grief or brought you sorrow. You walk through a difficult time, and some of you are going through that time right now. You're walking through it and realizing that what you're going through is causing suffering, is causing sorrow. It's that affliction or whatever you're facing is bringing pain into your life. As I thought through my own life, some of you know I've talked to you a little bit about this, but when I started in the doctoral program at NIAC, one of the assignments I had to do, which when I first saw the assignment, I was like, look, I've had a pretty easy life, pretty basic life. I didn't understand the purpose of it. But I had to write a grief journal. And I was amazed, even though I don't feel in a lot of ways, compared to what many of the pains and the losses you've experienced in your life, when I had to go back from the beginning as a child and start looking at seasons of my life where I was experiencing loss, experiencing pain, and putting that on paper, I realized that I did have some seasons in my life that were very painful and very challenging, and that's something I've shared with some of you personally. And my takeaway with doing that exercise was, you never know the pain that someone else is carrying, but sometimes we minimize the amount of pain and the heartache that we've experienced ourselves. And so just to kind of unpack, most of you right now, if you're thinking about the idea of what pain and sorrow is there in my life that maybe God would desire to touch and to meet, some of you, that comes right to your mind. For me, I had to think through that. But as I thought through those things, it not only prepared me to have a better understanding of God's desire to bring healing into my life, but it prepared me for God to actually begin that healing in some specific areas of my life that I really wasn't even aware of. You know, some of the heart wounds that we can experience, and this is not, you're not going to necessarily find this in a book. This is me just trying to think through some of the different types of pains that we experience in this life. But, you know, sometimes, as we talked last week about understanding how psychology can actually, one of the good things about psychology, it helps us understand the way that we're wired, and as well as some of the basic needs that every person has. Sometimes those wounds come when we have certain deprivations in our life, things that we're missing. And really, this is kind of key if you look back to your childhood and you think of your early life and realize there you may have had things missing in your life that every child needs, that every human needs. That might have been, maybe you were in a home life that wasn't secure, and it didn't even feel safe to be at home. So there was that absence of security, or maybe there was an absence of trust in your home, or an absence of love or intimacy, or, and this was more my story a little bit, and I may not share it all today, but may share it in the future, but sometimes it's not an issue of, okay, you know that you're loved, and yet you're just not getting that affirmation that, hey, you're doing a good job. Those are all basic needs that we understand that all people have, and yet too often some of those are missing in the foundation of our own life. So that's one of the type of wounds that we can carry. This is a little bit more obvious. John Eldridge used this term to describe the arrows that we experience in life. Those pains that we experience that really are caused by someone else. It's something that we experience. Someone does something that's hurtful. Someone says something that is hurtful, and we carry that. I'm amazed as I talk to people of how often words that they heard from their parents, even loving, well-intentioned parents, had phrases or things that you would use on a regular basis in how they were in the home, that those messages stuck. My mother has shared with me that her father was very negative, very critical. And I catch my mom at times, and I've talked to her about this. I said, you know, I catch myself, or catch her often repeating some of the things that she heard from her father. My mom's name's Penny. She'll say, I'll hear her say this out loud. Penny, I can't do anything right. And she was taking a message she heard again and again from my grandfather, and she internalized it. And she held on to that, and it's impacted her. And I've seen as she's getting older that she's much more free in sharing those things. So that it's a little bit more, I see the impact of it. one of the heart wounds that many of us will experience, or we're all in some way will experience types of losses in our life. And that can be the loss through the death of a loved one. That can be a loss in a marriage or a significant relationship. It can be the loss of a job or sometimes even a loss of an identity that you have, something that's significant to you. There's some change. Anytime you go through life change, sometimes there's loss that comes with that. There's also often wounds that are self-inflicted. And we all carry these wounds. They're the regrets that we have in life, that we look back and say, I know this was something I regret doing. And often it's a situation of sin. We chose to sin in our life, and other times it's just choices that we've made in our life that we look back and we see the pain that has caused ourselves. I go over this list not to depress you. I mean, some of you are thinking, well, now I have a whole list of pains and heartaches that I'm thinking of. I share this because just like as a doctor would go, you go to the doctor, he's not just going to give you medicine. At least he's a good doctor. He's going to diagnose. He's going to help you see what are the actual needs. And I just want to encourage you today to don't be like Katie with that bee sting, but begin to ask yourself, what are the wounds that you carry in your life, the pains that you carry in your life, and am I letting, ask yourself, am I letting God minister healing and peace to those needs? You know, the reality is we can admit that we all have some pain. We all have some heartache in our life, and yet we have a choice to make. We have a choice to make regarding that pain. If you look at the next slide, some of the choices that we make, and this is just more my observation, sometimes we push God away. We experience some sort of pain, and this is like Katie with the bee sting. I know this sounds terrible. I finally let Katie sit out in the backyard screaming. I was like, Katie, you're not letting me help you, so I'm going to go inside. When you're ready for help, I'll come and do whatever I can do. Of course, then I had to pull the stinger out, which was another whole adventure. But you know, that's how often we can be with pain in our life, and especially in our relationship with God. Some of you right now, the idea of letting God minister healing and peace to an area of pain in your life is not only scary, but there's a part of you, there's something within you that's saying, I don't want anything to do with this, just stay away. Don't touch it. Sometimes we nurse that pain. And what I mean by that is it's kind of like what Dave Ramsey always said about the need for change, but sometimes we get so comfortable in our misery that it's just what we know and we live with it. And he describes that, and I know I've shared this before, he describes that as like a toddler with a dirty diaper. I know it stinks, but it's mine. You know, that's how we are with our pain sometimes. We get used to it. We get used to the stinky diaper. We get used to the pain or the agony that we have, and we think that we just lose hope that there could be anything better. And we kind of wallow in that pain instead of actually trying to find healing. Sometimes we hide our pain. We live, and the scary thing is too often we hide our pain even in church. We around people who we should be receiving love and encouragement from. Growing up, I mean, in the church growing up, I would have never thought to be open to share about the deep pain in my life, because that wasn't something that was really welcomed. And as a church, we have to be making sure that we're providing a place that it's safe, that people know that they're going to be loved and experience God's love, but that they also can be open about their brokenness and about their pain, so that we actually encourage a place where people are not going to just seek to hide it. Like, I have to give this appearance that I have it all together. I have no pain, no heartache in my life. I'm fine. One of the things that I'm more and more aware of over my life is that sometimes when there's pain in our life, we try to numb our pain, or in some terms, self-medicate. The self-medicating can, that might be through drugs, alcohol, or something. We try to numb the pain instead of actually letting God begin to work healing and minister to that pain in our life. Sometimes we try to numb it by busyness, by humor, by entertainment. If I just keep the TV on, if I just keep noise in my life, I'm not going to actually think about the pain that's in my heart. I want to ask you today if probably each one of you are guilty in some way of doing one of those four things. Of pushing God away, of nursing the pain, of hiding the pain, or of being at that place where you're using something else to try to numb the pain rather than bringing that need to God. I want to encourage you to invite Jesus into that area of pain. Be open and honest. He already knows. But there's something about, it's in the same sense of confession, when we take that thing to God and say, here it is, there's something that is powerful and that God can step in and minister healing into our life. But we have to be willing to be honest about that. And we have to not only invite Jesus in, he's not going to force himself, but we have to invite Jesus into that area of pain in our life and then choose to trust him. So what I'd like to do, I promised last week to give practical steps. If you're here today and you say, look, I know I've got pain, I've got heartache in my life, and I know I need to quit trying to numb the pain or hiding the pain or whatever your natural choice that you make is, you want to choose to trust God with that area in your life, I just want to give you some practical steps. And I say practical does not mean easy. But practical means these are things you can actually do and apply into your life that I believe begins the healing process in these areas. And the first one, we're not going to take a lot of time because this is a whole other series, let alone another message, but I can't not talk about it. Especially for those of you that realize you have a lot of regrets in your life, sometimes if we don't get to a point where we forgive ourselves or forgive those who have hurt us, we miss the opportunity to experience that healing. And that's really the first practical step, is the need to forgive. Not just to let a person, in a sense, off the hook, but because of the impact that holding resentment or a grudge on someone else has an impact on us. We can't get away from the scriptural teaching on this. Right in the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus gives what we know as the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:12, he says, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. It's central enough that this is supposed to be in our central prayer. The Lord's Prayer says those words, that we forgive ask God to forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Colossians 3:13 says we're to be bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, we're to be forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, you also must forgive. As we experience God's mercy and we experience that forgiveness, the clear teaching in the New Testament is we also need to extend that to others. But when we do that, we also unlock the opportunity for God to begin to heal those wounds in our life. Now, I'm not necessarily, as much as I'm a Star Wars fan, I don't normally quote Carrie Fisher. So if you have no idea who Carrie Fisher is, think Princess Leia. But I don't even know the context of when she shared this quote, but I found the quote to be very accurate. When she talked about the significance of not forgiving people and holding resentment, she said it's like resentment is like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die. It's like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Some of you, there's a lot of pain and hurt that you have in your life, and you know that it was at the hands of a specific person. And I just want to encourage you to begin to ask God to give you the strength. Begin to let God begin to work in you to give you what is needed to be able to forgive that person. Not just for their benefit, but for your own benefit in the healing that God wants to accomplish in your heart. I also see the idea of redemptive suffering throughout Scripture. And I never heard this phrase. This is practical step number two. And this is more of a way that we approach suffering, the way we approach pain, to where if something hard happens this week in your life, it gives you kind of a process of how to handle these things. Martin Sanders, the head of the program that I'm in at NIAC, while I've been there through this program, he was in the process of losing his wife. She had a sickness that was long, prolonged. I mean, there were over a year that she was given, I mean, she was basically could have died any week or any month, and that went on for about a year and a half of not knowing how much longer he would have with his wife, who had been there, right there with him through his years of preaching and his years of teaching. And I remember what was powerful for me was Martin. I've heard him teach the idea of redemptive suffering and how not that God puts the pain into our life, but God wants to take that pain and transform it and wants us to learn from it. He wants us to grow in the midst of that pain. I've heard him teach it, but it was something else when I hear him actually utter the words as he's preparing to say goodbye to his wife. He said, I don't want to waste the suffering. I don't want to waste this pain. I don't want to waste the suffering. He understood they would be reunited again. He had the hope of a future because Diana and he were both followers of Christ, and they have that future hope. And yet he, in going through that grief, in preparation for that grief, had a desire to not waste that pain, to not waste that suffering. Key verse with this is Romans 8, 28 and 29. It says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. You know, that key phrase, that, and depending on your translation, it might be written slightly different, but that all things work together for good. That all things work together for good. That idea that if we're called by God, if we love God, says again, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. That we know that whether we face pain or whether we face joys, whatever circumstances we face, God desires to work through those things for our good. And this is where I want to touch base with some of what we talked about last week, because the reality is that too often God gets blamed for the pain and the heartache in our life, and yet God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, to suffer and to die, to bring an end to the suffering and the pain that we experience in this life. And I shared the text from Revelation 21. The future that Jesus secured on the cross for us is a future in Revelation 21:4, when he says, I will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Whether we cause self-inflicted pain, or whether it's just a pain in living in a fallen world, where there is pain and suffering and death and hardship, God wants to take whatever those wounds that we have in our life, he wants to take those things and bring us peace. He wants to work to our good in those areas. And two things that I believe very clearly the scripture teaches of two areas where God wants to take those experiences in our life and to use them so that we, like Martin said, we don't waste them. What we see first in Romans 8, 28, and then on into 29, he says in verse 29 that for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. God wants to take the hardship, God wants to take the pain that we're walking through, those difficult moments that we walk through, and one of the things for our good is he wants to teach us. He wants to shape us. He wants us to become more Christ-like in our response. And it's an issue of character, that we become more like Jesus. This was the purpose of why God chose us. He chose us, he predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. And that's one of the reasons he works, one of the for our good statements out of this passage is he desires to bring us to a place that we become more like Jesus. And so how we respond to the pain and the heartache in our life is it gives us an opportunity for God to shape us. Sometimes it's that chisel that's painful. And yet God wants to shape us and to transform us into people who reflect Jesus. You know, Marian Durr, I've often referenced her before. She was one of the matriarchs in the church that I served for 15 years in McKeesport. She served as a secretary there for 30 years. Lives down in Carolinas now. But you remember, I remember one of, it was amazing to me. Sometimes I go to make a pastoral visit and I walk away more blessed than I think they were blessed by me being there and praying with them. But I remember Marion had about a 3 or 4 month bout with the shingles and had so much pain in her side that she was just in misery. And I remember, I mean, she would never in any way feel that God had sent that to her, like God was causing the affliction. But in the midst of that pain, in the midst of that heartache, when I asked her, Marion, how can I pray for you? She said, I just want to know what does God want me to learn through this? And I thought to myself, I don't know if I could have prayed that prayer based on the amount of pain that I saw her in. And yet when we walk through pain, when we experience that idea, I don't want to waste this pain, I don't want to waste this suffering, there's something to say, how can I grow and become more like Jesus in how I respond to this difficult situation? We also see through the Apostle Paul that one of the things that God works for our good in pain and suffering is that God also uses that, and this reflects Dave's words this morning, of just being willing to admit our need for him. When we go through pain, when we go through heartache, when we go through those difficult times where our hands are up and say, God, I need you. There's something about how it draws us into a place of intimacy with God and a deeper relationship of dependence to where we experience his strength in our own weakness. You know, we often, Christian churches today will often quote Philippians 3 and this passionate statement of Paul's desire to know Christ more. This incredible picture of the intimacy that God desires to have for us. And yet, there's a theme of suffering throughout all of it. Look at Philippians 3, 7 through 11. But whatever I gain, I had counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Let's start again. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things. Did you catch that? I don't hear too many TV preachers talking about, for Jesus' sake, I suffered. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. I want to ask you, you know, I think we can connect with Paul's passionate, that desire there. This is the Apostle Paul who helped start most of the churches that we celebrate in the New Testament. And God used him to give us a lot of what we have in the New Testament. And yet, even though this is the Apostle Paul, he desires to know Christ more, to go deeper with Christ. We connect with that, but I want to ask you, when is the last time in your prayer life as you desire to grow close to Jesus? When have you prayed that, may I share in your sufferings, becoming like you in your death? Paul understood that the pain, the heartache, and the suffering that he experienced was something that God would use to draw him to a place not only to become more Christ-like, but also to draw him into a deeper relationship with Jesus. Today, I want to ask you, are you at a place in your life that maybe God has been desiring to bring healing into your life, God is desiring to bring peace into your life, and yet you're wasting some of that pain and that suffering? We have a Savior who identifies with that pain. We have a Savior, and the beautiful thing about the Isaiah 53 passage, one of the beautiful things, is we see very clearly the suffering that Jesus endured for each one of us so that we might be forgiven and have our sins forgiven, but that we also might find peace, wholeness, and find healing in our life. Today, as we come to deal with this issue, I just want to encourage you to ask yourself, is God teaching you something about how you respond to that pain that you have? I want to very quickly go over the last practical step. I was debating whether to hold this, but I think this would be like opening a wound and not finishing. So I want to go ahead and finish. One of the things that I believe that God does in our life is those pains that we have often come with memories. We look back to seasons in our life, and there's a heartache, there's pain, that then we think of those words that were spoken to us. We think of those times where we look back in a season in our life where we were regretting our decisions and the pain that we caused. But there's something about remembering that God is with us where God can begin a healing in our hearts and even in our memories. And really, this revolves around the question that is very critical, very normal question when we go through heartache, when most people go through heartache, is where is God in my suffering? Where is he? I'm always amazed whether it's at the bed of someone who's dying, or whether it's an accident scene, or just praying with someone who's going through a difficult challenge. I'm always amazed at how Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd passage, just brings a level of comfort and peace. And I love these words in verse 4 that says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, whether it's in Hebrews 13:5 or back in Deuteronomy, we have that consistent promise of Jesus saying, I will never leave you or forsake you. And we see David focusing on those words of God's constant presence. Even when we're in the valley of the shadow of death, we know that he's with us. Our great shepherd is with us. There's something about knowing that he is with us that transforms the way that we view the pain that we experience. I love the fact that even the promise, Jesus' promise of the Holy Spirit, is a reminder of God's presence with us. In John 14:26, Jesus said, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The word there, speaking of the Helper, is the word paraclete in Greek. And it's literally the idea, it's two words, the idea of come alongside, to help. God promises us, Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit to come alongside of us and to help us. Throughout the scriptures, we have the promise of God's presence. And even in those difficult seasons in your life where you look back and you know that those memories remind you of the pain that you carry, there's something significant of a healing that God begins in our life when we begin to realize that even in the midst of that pain, he was present with me. You know, many of you know the words to the old poem, Footprints. But I just want to repeat it again because we don't. It's an anonymous poem, but many of you have heard it. Many of you probably have it on your wall. But much like Psalm 23:4, I think, has that power in remembering God's presence with us. This poem, I think one of the reasons there's so much power in it, especially in the moment of pain and suffering, is to remember that Jesus never leaves us. One night, a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord, and across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that all at the worst times in my life, there was only one set of footprints. How could you leave me when I needed you the most? The Lord replied, my precious, precious child, I love you and would never leave you. During your time of suffering, and when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. I want to ask you today, and to think about the practical thing, the steps with regard to healing. If there's a season in your life or a memory in your life that you really wrestled with that question of, God, where are you? Where were you? I want to encourage you to begin to pray for God to begin to show you where he was in the midst of that pain. Ask God to reveal, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you where Jesus was in the midst of that painful situation that you were facing. I believe that when God begins to answer those questions and begin to show you where he was, God begins to do a healing in your heart and a healing in your life. And some of you, as you work through this, you might need someone to pray with you and to walk with you through this. And please know I'm willing to sit and to talk with you. God has done an incredible work in some areas of my own life in this area, and I just want to be willing to be available to you. If you're looking at some areas in your life to say, you know, I just don't see where God was in this moment, and you're really carrying that pain and that woundedness, I just want to encourage you to begin that prayer of, God, show me where you were in the midst of my pain, so that God can begin that new work of healing and bring peace to your life. Will you pray with me as the musicians come? Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you desire not only to deal with the sin in our life that separates us from you, Lord, that we might be restored to relationship with you. But Lord, we know that Jesus came and he said that he came to give life, and not just life, but abundant life. In Isaiah, these words promise us not only that you take our sin, you take our sorrow, you take our griefs, you take all these things that we might find wholeness and peace and healing in you. And Lord, I just pray that today, Lord, that you would begin that work in the hearts and the lives of each person here, Lord. If they're, especially for the person who's been carrying deep pain, Lord, that an area that they've maybe been pushing you away, Lord, that they'd begin that process of inviting you into that area of pain. Lord, that you might begin that healing work in their life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.